Are you insane?
They are insane!
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate.
But met frosting.
It does like you.
How you doing, Mike?
That man is bereft of passion and imagination.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
Let the lesson begin.
You're carving us up like a roast.
To the Horatio, gentlemen.
The Horatio.
Okay, there we go. Let's see. Say one more thing.
Yeah. Let's try it.
Okay, now we got it. Yeah. We got it.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. You know, it's been a long time. It's been a long road getting from here to George.
Here to here?
Well, yeah.
So, best Star Trek opening song?
Enterprise. It's been a long road. So, some of you who have listened to the podcast for years now, George, this has been on for over 2 years. Do you realize that?
It's been over 2 years since I was on?
Well, no. I don't know about that, but The podcast has been on for over 2 years.
Okay, I was going to say, it has been a while. It's definitely been a while. Because yeah. I know, because, for example, I've been sober for a year and a half. And one of my appearances, I was definitely not. I'll put it that way. You probably remember that well.
Well, congratulations on that, first of all.
Thanks.
I've been drinking more and more since I've been doing the Star Trek thing, and I got hammered a couple weeks ago. So, but I'm older than you, so
that's
all right.
Good.
I have full. But it has been at least a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years. I think probably maybe it was the last Star Trek convention was the last time we talked.
Yeah, we did one where we talked about. I'm sure this should all make the final cut because we're just talking about old episodes of the podcast.
It all makes it. It doesn't matter.
We did one because I had a weird dream. Oh, okay, great.
That's right. Yes, I remember that. Yes, but these
I was
are
thinking about that when you texted me. It was a weird dream about you, and it was about Star Trek. But a lot's happened to Star Trek since I last talked to you, and I haven't really, aside from talking to Ryan sometimes, I haven't talked to anybody about it.
Yes.
I haven't talked to anybody about Discovery, which I don't watch.
Okay.
I haven't talked to anybody about the Orville, which I didn't watch. Is that still on?
It's coming back for another season.
I live under a rock.
I know.
Is on?
Well, it's coming back in December, and Discovery is coming back in January. So it's almost as though you've been frozen in time since we last left.
Those three people.
Remember in the Neutral Zone episode in Next Generation where those three people from the 20th century are frozen, and then when they wake them up, and there's like the cowboy and the industrialist and the housewife.
Yes.
That's you, George. We're waking you up after a year and a half to fill you in. I'm going to fill you in, and we're going to get hot takes from George.
Or I'm like Khan, another frozen,
This is true. This is
another thing from the past.
How
long? No, but the Benedict Cumberbatch Khan,
That's how I always envision Khan now, is Benedict Cumberbatch opening his mouth really wide, say, Khan.
Yes. Is there any other Khan? I don't know
one.
That's the only one in my mind.
Well, I'm sure they'll reboot another one pretty soon. Speaking of which, before we go on, first of all, this is a podcast called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. My name is Mike McCafferty. I'm talking with George Edelman, friend of the pod from years and years back. We've been big Star Trek fans, and he hasn't been on the pod for a long time because he's been with children. Friday's Childs.
Yeah.
The child. And he just had his second one, right?
Yep.
Now
there's two.
What are their names, George?
Theodore and James. And yes, there is a James Kirk. That was a factor.
Good. This is why
that's the level of fandom we're dealing with.
Yes.
That my wife, it was a family name, but my wife, you know, we had to do a J and an A, and there was a lot of stuff back and forth about that. Mm-hmm. And James was hard for me because James Atkinson is an extremely good friend for a long time.
Yes.
And it was hard to be like, well, I got James, because I know James is a person in my life. But then I thought about it, I was like, well, there's also James Kirk, so he's meant so much to me. So sort of felt like maybe there can be two Jameses.
Yep.
I don't know if that makes sense, but that was my path.
And again, when you're talking about Kirk, you're talking about Chris Pine, I presume, right? That's you know.
Yeah. That's the only, effect. Kirk I know. Wait, are they going to put another Kirk? I know they put a new Spock in Discovery.
Not yet.
I know enough to know that there's a Spock, yet another Spock. Right.
There's another Spock coming in the pipeline, and there's another Christopher coming in the Pike line.
Oof.
Do you like that? We should stop the podcast right there.
I love it.
Yeah. Anson Mount has been cast to play Christopher Pike. And
I think I saw it. You know, I saw that. Mm-hmm. I saw pictures. So he hasn't been on it yet.
No, although if you watch the trailers for Discovery, he's in it. We have not seen Rebecca Roman, who is playing number one, Majel Barrett's role. She will be in it.
Wow.
Yeah. And
super
we have not.
Weird.
I know. They are basically falling all over themselves to just basically, as much as they can, recapture the old show while existing in the Kelvin timeline.
Wait, they're in the Kelvin timeline?
They say they're not.
Discovery?
But, George, they are.
Discovery is in is the Kelvin timeline the fake one or the real one?
The Kelvin timeline's the fake one. That's the one that was separated when the Kelvin, which was where
JJ?
Yeah, JJ's verse. That's the USS Kelvin encountered Nero's ship.
Right.
Hi, Christopher, okay. I'm Nero.
Yeah. Okay. So Discovery is all a part of the JJ verse?
Well, There is a lot of yes. Yes, it is. I'm going to say yes.
Is it official or not official?
It is, to me, a closely guarded secret that they're not revealing because they don't want to upset the fans.
I see. Okay. Because I was going to say, it seems particularly sad. I was telling Ryan, also friend of the pod.
Yes.
I was saying, isn't it funny that the whole thing of recasting Spock with Quinto and doing all that stuff is already kind of old news. They've already buried that with an additional Spock.
Yes.
They buried that Pine with an additional Pike. I can't keep track. But it seems so weird to me because it was but if they're putting it in that same fake alternate universe, I can't imagine the fans would be enthusiastic because that's doubling down on the inauthenticity of it. You know what I mean? The one cool thing you can say that Star Wars, the new Star Wars movies, have done is that they are pertaining to be a part of the same exact timeline. I mean, that's the only thing they've done, in my opinion, that makes them I guess, still Luke. Same Luke, right?
Yes.
But when you say to me, this isn't the same Kirk, this isn't the same Spock, it's all different, it's well, then it's all, I don't care, you know? It's all, nothing to me.
No,
it doesn't personally, as a fan, it doesn't feel... If you told me, no, this is the real Spock, the Spock you love, not that fake Spock from the dumb movies, then I would say, but then again, I haven't watched a single episode, so...
I know. You're coming in so cold. You are the people they don't care about anymore, George. You are the old guard, which they have distanced themselves and are working feverishly to eradicate the universe for it. And they're going to do it with the new Picard show.
You think so?
I'll send you this link. So Kim Miller, the doctor, sent me this link from this guy who does these really in-depth looks at the behind the scenes of the contracts and CBS and Viacom and all this sort of stuff. And what he said was is that this show is produced by Bad Robot, which is JJ's production company, right?
Really? The Picard show is?
No. Well, yes. Well, hold on. So Discovery is. Star Trek Discovery is. They have anointed Alex Kurtzman, friend of JJ, as the sort of Kevin Feige of Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
So the conjecture...
Well, that was a mistake. They're definitely putting their eggs in the wrong basket with that guy.
They are trying to find some sort of momentum from this because Discovery has been... Discovery... You need to watch Discovery, George. You need to see...
Do I really? I don't want to spend... It's so funny. I love Star Trek in such a deep, abiding way. I love Star Trek more than Star Wars. it's funny, though. My house is filled with Star Wars stuff because my son's really into it. Mm. And I introduced it to him, but I sort of introduced him to Star Trek, and he was definitely into it. We watched some original series episodes. We watched. We tried to watch the animated series because I thought that would be better for a toddler. Ooh. And he referred to it as the blurry one that he didn't want to watch, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah,
because it is kind of like visually, he's like, I want to watch the real ones, not the blurry ones.
Yeah,
but you know, he's like, he's game for anything like that. But it's like the purity of what is Star Trek to me is so removed from all these modern incarnations. Like, they've so lost any connection to what Star Trek actually is. And Star Wars is on its way. It's well on its way to doing that. But, like, that, like those last movies for me were like, I don't know. This is nothing, like, so far removed from Star Trek. I'll watch the Picard show, though. I am all in on that. Like, I want to see Patrick Stewart playing Picard.
But see, here's what this guy says, basically, is that this Picard show is going to be kind of a stealth eradicator of the prime timeline by linking up this timeline of Discovery and Star Trek 2009 to Picard's adventures. It will validate the Kelvin universe. He will exist in the Kelvin universe, essentially, and sort of close off all the previous shows. Do you understand? So,
yeah.
So by doing that, by being like, oh, I'm Picard in Kelvin universe 100 years later, then everything that's come in between that, in between Discovery and Picard is no longer valid. Only Enterprise now.
I mean, that makes except for Enterprise, which is a master stroke by them.
Wouldn't that be amazing if Enterprise is the only show that actually remains in canon?
No, it's perfect because it goes hand in hand with the way most of Hollywood thinks. Like, let's just take the worst thing and just plant our flag deep in it, and like, you know, do it over and over. Yeah, I mean, this makes sense to me. That tracks because they're trying to build these things. Like, to them, Star Trek, I assume, is like Marvel. It's like, we have this big IP. We have to make money off of it. We have to have spin-offs. We have to build. And that thing that was popular in the 80s and 90s and to some extent the 60s, that is not going to be our Marvel. You know, that's not going to do it. Like, they have to have their blank slate and J.J. Abrams and all that. It makes total sense to me. I don't think it's going to work, but, you know, like, it's just like the DC thing. Is the DC thing working? No, but it doesn't matter. Because I think some of these movies are made to lose money. Like, they're hiding gains somewhere else. I don't know. There's no rhyme or reason behind these things except that, whatever. I'm very bitter and I have no faith in anything anymore.
I know. You're in the darkest place right now. You're in the darkest place. I mean, I would say that Marvel, everyone is trying to emulate the Marvel way because they do go back. See, this version of Star Trek is basically kind of spitting upon the past in some ways. It's saying, we want to make our own future. Whereas the Kevin Feige Marvel Universe embraces like the 60 years of comic books as much as they can. You know, you'll see little Easter eggs from various generations.
Absolutely.
And decades, and you're like, oh, that's great. Oh, thank you for including me, whereas this is exclusionary. It's like, they had a comment, and
these people, or these, they're not people. They're individuals, but I don't blame individuals. I blame sort of, I don't know, I don't want to use the phrase groupthink, but like, I blame committee, essentially, and conglomerates and committees and, you know, the decisions they have to make. Like, look, Disney has to make decisions because they have a lot of assets to protect. They're not making the best creative decisions all the time, and that's the way it works. But they're thinking about it like they always pick the worst things. Like, we want to be like Marvel, but what worked about Marvel? I mean, to be honest, Robert Downey Jr. is what worked about Marvel. And that was something that the studios didn't really want to do because he was hard to cast, hard to ensure. He was not the right guy in a lot of ways, but he was the perfect guy because they took a chance. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
yeah. I think you're right on that. I also think it took someone like a Kevin Feige who was like, wait a minute, we have all of this great material. Let's draw from it. Let's use it. and filter it through in different ways that we can, you know, celebrate and move forward, as opposed to let's lop it off and move forward. So I think, and that's what they're trying to do with Alex Kurtzman. They're trying to place and install someone, and also like Kathleen Kennedy, which for better or for worse, you know, she's gone the opposite way. She said, hey, we are embracing the Star Wars fans 100%. You are going to see, you know, Easter eggs, you know, all the way back. You know, everybody's back. Luke, Leia, Han, Chewie, you know, everybody's back. Don't worry about that. Whereas Star Trek is like, nope, those guys don't exist, and we're going to recast everybody, and good luck with figuring out who that is.
I think that that's partly because, like, I mean, that's an interesting point. My thought about that is that Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek, that Rick Berman was very committed to, is, like, the hardest thing to write, because you have to write utopia and all that, the Bible of things being conflict-free and stuff. That, like, those guys, like, Ron Moore is still somewhere, like, miserable because he had to do that, right? Like, that was his thing with Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
But, like, that's hard to do. It's hard. It's like, I want to say it's like a hard and noble path. Did you see the Mr. Rogers documentary that came out recently?
Yeah, we just watched it yesterday. Or
it's really a, I thought it was beautiful, but it's what it really captured for me. It reminded me of Star Trek, original Star Trek, because what it was it's like, look, it's hard to not be jaded. It's hard to always try to be optimistic and to always find a kind and gentle way. But it is possible. And like all those guys said about Fred Rogers, they're like, he really was that genuinely like positive and optimistic. It's a challenge. Like, and I think nobody wants, the hardest thing to do if you're trying to create this multi-million dollar franchise is to say it all has to be tied to this very positive, challenging to write worldview. Like, they want to scrap that. They've had a lot of trouble trying to stay in touch with it. And fans do love DS9, which was the departure. And I think that, like, from what I've been told about Discovery, it's more or less about a war. Mm-hmm. So that, and that's very on Star Trek. But that's what they have to do, right? They have to, they can't, like, you can tie it directly into Star Wars. It was a proven winner. And it's an easy call to be like, let's just make sure we show Boba Fett's mask in the corner of every frame or whatever. It's an easy win for them because it's like, everybody loves Star Wars, right? Like, there's nobody out there who's like, I don't want to see more of the thing I love. But with Star Trek, they've struggled to continue to make, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a challenge. To do it right, it's a challenge. So why struggle to do it? Just do it the weird wrong way, make it, The mirror, it's basically the mirror universe, right?
Well, they go to the mirror universe in Discovery. They're already there.
Philosophizing about the state of the entertainment world, like, if in the mirror universe, when you think about it, it was just that one, it was like that one episode in the original series. It was kind of goofy.
Yeah.
Like, how about they're all angry all the time? Like, it really wasn't worthy of all this exploration. Like, I'm sorry. It was like, it was good for one thing. Like, you don't, like, every series does not need.
Nope. You there, George? You dropped
there.
Out. Oh.
I am?
Yeah.
Am I there now?
Yeah, you're back now, yeah. You said go ahead.
Every show did not need to do the mirror universe multiple times. It was not deep enough. It was just one thing. It was Spock with the beard.
Yeah.
That was it.
Well, you are in for a treat if you watch Discovery, because they go there for like five episodes. All in.
They did that in DS9, didn't they? Didn't they have like a whole extended...
Those weren't good either.
I will say,
George, if you watch Enterprise through Mirror Darkly, that's pretty good. They go to the Mirror Universe and that, and that's probably, it's such a great companion piece to the original Mirror. You should watch that. You'll like that. Because that is close to the original series. I won't ruin it for you. It's a two-parter, but it's really good. You need to watch that. That's on your
watch list. Is that the one where they actually wear the original series costumes briefly?
Yep. And they're
that all, ever happened? Yeah.
Because well, I'll just ruin it for you if you want. I mean, you're not going to watch it. You're going to have babies, and you're just going to be gone forever. Or will you watch it? Will
yeah,
you watch
I don't
it tonight? Are you going to watch it tonight or no?
No.
No.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to lie to you. No.
The ship
the odds
on,
that I watch an episode of Enterprise are not high.
Yeah, I know.
But tell me what happened.
Well, it's in the they start off in the mirror universe, in the evil mirror universe, and Captain Archer, evil Captain Archer, they go off to try this, to find this thing that Tholians have, which is the Federation ship. I think it's the Intrepid, which fell through the Tholian web. Remember that episode?
Yes.
So it fell not only through the dimensions, but back in time. And so these guys, they capture it. They go in and they capture it. And they're going, and then there's a Gorn on the ship trying to kill them. It's awesome. It's so ridiculous. And then they show up at Earth and they just basically like take over Earth. And that's the end of it. It's two episodes. They're all evil. We never see the good universe. The end.
Wow. It's just a trip. It's just two episodes in the bad universe, huh?
They even have an alternate opening title sequence.
Oh, is there a dark version of the song? Because that would be exciting.
It's not. All it is, though, is it's instead of showing like all sorts of moments of exploration, they just show all these moments of war, and they have this kind of dark music playing under it. It's pretty cool.
Is it like goth metal, death metal, whatever?
No, they could have gone harder with that. It's just sort of like, dun, 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 dun. You know, they're like, But, yeah.
Does it have, is the Gorn, this, you really piqued my curiosity. Now, mm-hmm. I actually might watch it. Is the Gorn a crewman?
He is.
Is he, like, on the ship? He's like, a crew, he's, like, part of the crew?
He was a worker on, so the Tholians were, like, trying to fix it. Like, they're trying to figure out and fix it, because it's, like, 100 years in the future for them. And they're trying to fix it and figure it out. And he's one of the, like, the slave workers for the Tholians.
I see.
Yeah, and they show Tholians, too, like, with their crazy, like, crab legs. I mean, with, like, like 2004 CGI graphics. It's outstanding. It's definitely a
watch.
Yeah,
that sounds good to me.
You have to watch that one.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Now,
I would have loved to see a Gorn, like, I would have loved for there to be a Gorn who was on a crew. If you told me in Discovery, like, the science officer was a Gorn, I would have watched that. Like, that would have been enough for me. I would have said, yeah, I'll sign up, I'll pay. That's so weird. I want to see that.
Well, they do have Doug Jones, friend of Channel 101, who's Saru, who's the Kelpian.
But I saw him. He's not, that's like, he looks like some, it's like some weird new, like, I don't know, it's like how many times can you, I always use this analogy. You know the movie Multiplicity with Michael Keaton and Andy McDowell?
Yep.
It's just like we're so past that third clone who was like a mouth breathing, like bumping into things. Like, I feel like when you get like at this stage, it's like Spock was so many iterations ago. Mm-hmm. Like, what is left now? Like, where are we?
Yeah.
And I say this not having watched it. Maybe it's amazing. I don't know. But I got to the point where, even with Enterprise, like, sometimes there would be things that was like, this is just such a sad, faded echo of something that was interesting 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's how I feel. I feel that way. That I feel like Star Wars has already reached that point, though. It's like, my God. Like, they've done a lot of things right, but someone I know made the comment, and I loved it. He said, they've made it so that universe feels like it's the size of Pacific Palisades. It's like, how is everything, like, so connected? It's like, wasn't the best thing about Star Wars the very first time that you were like, what the fuck is going on? Who are these things? What is this? How big is this? What does this guy do? And now it's like, oh, yeah, it's all, like, they're all cousins. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's Luke over there.
That's not so cool.
Yeah. It is a very, like, again, they've gone kind of the opposite way, where it's like, we are so inbred with Star Wars that you are going to see every 3 minutes, someone you recognize, the exact same location you've seen before. You know, you're going to feel very comfortable. It's Thanksgiving
you know what,
dinner.
It's Thanksgiving dinner. I think the, you know, all the talking I was doing could be summarized in one thing. It's about brand loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars knows that people love the brand. The brand brings people in. So just brand it every which way. Star Trek, they know the brand is tricky, and it's hard to get. Like, the brand alone hasn't always been a winner for them. So they have to, like, well, can we make Star Trek? Can it be not the whole, like, not your dad's Star Trek, you know?
Yes.
That's where they are with this.
That's what they're trying to do. And that's why, and I'll transition into this now, George, is that now more than ever, I think, per our conversation, you need to give the Orville a few more shots. Because it is 100% your dad's Star Trek.
Really? Which I guess is my Star Trek. I'm the dad who's the Star Trek dad.
You are literally the dad. Yes. George,
yeah, it's my Star Trek.
What's
son's Star Trek is this Discovery stuff.
Yeah,
it's my
yeah.
Star Trek. Orville.
Well, yeah. It's actually, you know, here's the thing is that Kiernan and Caden started watching the Orville with me because I was like, oh, whatever. And we were all watching. The whole family started watching it. And he liked it so much. He's like, Dad, are there any Star Trek episodes which have cool mysteries? I'm like, yes, there's about 700 of them that have cool mysteries. So so that's what got him hooked. And now he's a huge Star Trek nerd. He watches more Star Trek than I do now, George.
That's amazing. That is a beautiful story. That gives me hope.
It does.
For the future, but, more than anything.
But this
like
is the thing.
Like, if you can, like, turn it, because you always, the whole thing was you would always say, like, I tried, my kids just weren't into it. And I was like, yeah, it makes sense. There's a high barrier of entry or whatever they say. That phrase is, like, it's not easy. It's not easy to get into, but it's such a good way to look at the world.
Yeah.
And it's like eating your vegetables, damn it. Like, it's like a good thing. And I love the idea that there could be a way that was like somebody had an entry point and was like a kid growing up suddenly. Yeah, I love that. I will try it.
I
will definitely try it.
It is Seth MacFarlane wanting so badly to be on Next Generation.
Yeah.
The ship looks just like the ship, the decks, the outfits. And then he basically hired half of the writers from Next Generation. And then he got the woman from Deep Space Nine who played Sisko's wife or you know, a lover. She's on the show. I mean, Jonathan Frakes is directing episodes.
Yeah, Frakes. You got to get Frakes in there. I wish Frakes was acting in it, though. I love Frakes.
I know. He's directing both.
Tell me Frakes is going to. Sorry.
No, I say he's directing both Orville and Discovery, if you can believe that.
Yeah, he's like, he's the go-to guy. I really want him to be in the Picard show. Do you think there's any chance of that? What do you think the odds are? Let's put odds on every TNG cast member and whether or not they're going to be in the Picard show.
I would say it's about
30%. Most likely. Rank them from most to least likely.
So most likely I would say would be Data, because that's an easy get. I mean, like, they'd have to, like, be like, how are we going to explain that he's now, like, 95 years old? But, like, who cares, right? I mean, we all want to see Brent Spiner be dated again. Then after that...
Especially Brent Spiner.
Yeah,
I think Brent Spiner wants it the most.
Yeah, yeah. Have we talked about the fact that when he only agreed to do Next Generation Generations if they would give him two non-Star Trek roles in movies, if Paramount would?
I know that. That's real.
Did you know that? So
I did not know that, no.
So the two roles he got...
Is that why he was in Independence Day? In
Phenomenon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Both, he plays crazy scientists. So, like, okay, great. Here's your parts, Brent. Good luck.
That is so sad. Here we all were thinking he was actually just cast in those movies.
No,
did we know.
He had the most...
He held them hostage.
He did. He basically said, no, you're going to have to... You know, you have to bend my will on these. And they're like, fine, give him this, give him that. I mean, he was fine in Independence Day. I actually liked him in Independence Day, but...
Yes.
And Phenomenon, I mean, sure, why not, right?
I mean, I just think that's the funniest, like, I had no idea. I have to tell Ryan that. He's going to love that.
No, that's great.
Really,
that's great.
Sad. It was like, it was like, you got cast in a couple other things. Isn't that cool? No, not really. A couple other things.
I just remember seeing him in Independence Day and going, like, what is going on here? What is he doing?
Yes.
And then I heard that story. I'm like, aha, that clicks. Because they wouldn't cast him in that. You know, they don't need him.
Yes.
I mean, it's distracting.
No.
He is Data.
It is. It is distracting. He proved often on the show that he really should only ever play Data. He went out of his way to make it clear. Whenever he was branching out, it was like, oh, no, just go back to Data, please.
Yeah, every time he tried, like, when he was in masks.
Too much for the finer.
You seek Mosaka, yes. You know, it's like, yes. Ooh, boy. It's always a tough road.
It was always too much.
Yeah. And then the singing and, yeah. and Generations. Boy, although my son loved that.
So we thought maybe, Ryan and I talked about it, we were talking about, like, maybe Troy would be an easy one because she's like his conscience, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, mix it up, get her in there. I thought that was a likely, you know, she's also... I don't think any of them are going to say no. I'm sure they'd all be game.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's the only game in town for them, right? I mean, it's all they got. I mean, the question is how deep will they go? Because they have a roster of three different shows to draw from. You know, I mean, why not Kate Mulgrew? I mean, we saw her in Nemesis, right? I mean, she was there.
Yeah.
Why not Odo shows up? You know, I mean...
I can tell you why not Odo. just not Odo. Not Odo. Odo's not going to show up. But I think you're right. They could do, like, it could be about cameos, you know, and just, like, sweep. Or is it going to be on real TV, or is it only going to be on pay-for-stream, whatever?
It'll probably only be on this. CBS is really trying to push this all-access nonsense, so I think they're really going to...
God.
Yeah, and it's such a horrible interface. It's just, you can either pay $5.95 for commercials, which are just the worst. They're all like old people commercials, which makes me feel great. It's all some sort of medication, which I'm probably going to need in 15 years. Or you can pay $9.95 to get no commercials, but the streaming is so bad. It's just, and there's nothing else to watch. What do you watch, The Good Doctor or something? I mean, it's such a mess.
It's terrible.
Yeah,
I felt like part of it was in defiance for me, the defiance. Part of it was defiance of just, like, I'm not going to pay. I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and you're losing me. Like, yeah. I'm not interested. Like, I might watch the show if it was free, but you're going to ask me to go beyond a paywall for something that doesn't feel true to my Star Trek?
Yeah.
Like, you, sir, have lost a customer. But like you said... They don't really want me. Like that, I'm not. They're not. They want the young. They want cool people.
They want you to show up blindly. They want you to show up blindly and like whatever they put in front of you, so that then they can go after the younger audience. They're like, this is Star Trek. You are supposed to like this. You are on just like Star Wars. This is Star Wars. You will like it regardless. While we go after the younger audience with Rey and with Poe Dameron.
But Star Wars does. Star Wars does give its fans, like, they service those fans, man, like, up the wazoo. Like, there's so much fan service going on there, like we said, it's sort of, like, ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, I could go for a little Star Trek fan service because there's never any. You never get any Star Trek fan service. Like that's why I say, like, put a Gorn in there and all. Yeah. Like, you have to make it a new weird alien that I don't have any attachment to.
Well,
like,
you know, there is...
I mean, it's so silly because I complain about the opposite things with Star Wars, but it's like, there's got to be a middle ground somewhere.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you can give me some new, interesting stuff. Like, I mean, are they really giving you something new? They just redesigned the Klingons. Like, that doesn't feel like a new thing. That feels like a crappy version of an old thing.
Well, the reason they did that is because they can't use any likenesses... from any of the original series. They're contractually barred from doing that.
So they have to
reinvent everything. I was saying before, they had an interview with one of the set constructors or one of the set designers like a couple weeks ago, and they said the quote was just so smug, where it's like, you know, we're going to go for new, like, you know, when you see the Enterprise, it's going to be totally new and redesigned because we love the old show, but you know, we do want to get away from the cardboard, you know, the construction of it. And I'm like, what? Like on two different occasions, they called the construction of the sets of the original series cardboard. I'm like, have you seen the show?
Yeah, that's what they always say, though. I think what's crazy about that, and, like, people, like, you know, I had this argument with Next Generation fans, because, like, even though I'm not, I didn't watch the original series when it was on,
right.
I'm not that old, But I did, like, my era was the Next Generation.
Sure.
And so, and like, but reruns of the original series were my entry point to Star Trek. So I always loved the original series. That was my first thing. But I would talk to fans who grew up on the Next Generation, and I would say, you know, you say that the original series is all corny and old, but when it came out, it was a thing. Everybody, it was an event. Like, it was cool looking. It was like state of the art. And one day, mark my words, you're going to look at these Next Generation episodes and they're going to look campy and old. And they do, because that's what happens.
Yeah.
So when people talk about the original series and they say it looks like cardboard, I always think, yeah, well, it's 1966. You know, what else was on TV? Check out the rest of the stuff on TV in 1966.
Yeah.
And tell me that, like, I remember talking to my dad about it, and he was like, yeah, Star Trek was blowing people's minds. It was like this crazy thing that was on TV that there was nothing like it.
You know,
and yeah, that's the thing. Like, people don't have any respect for, like, the context. And the problem with that is, like, just because, like, is anyone going to watch Discovery in 60 years? No. No one will watch it.
And to dig down on a level deeper is that, okay, if you are so... If you make so much fun of the original series, like, ha, this looks so silly, the costume's ridiculous, you know, the sets are ridiculous, the acting's ridiculous, the aliens look terrible, then you know what? Don't do a prequel. Don't do a prequel where you're going to literally be 10...
That's it, yeah.
Why? Because you're literally stepping back onto the Enterprise, and what are you going to do? Oh, we're going to redesign it because it looks bad. Then don't do that. What are you? It's so insane.
So stupid. There's no. There's no. There's nothing. It makes no sense to. That's them trying to have their cake and eat it too.
It is.
Because it's like you know. Okay, so you don't want to do fan service. So you want to separate yourself. So do the coolest thing you can. Go way in the future from the Next Generation. Like, step way into the future and blow my mind. Like, show me something, like, show me what Picard could have only dreamed of.
Yes.
Like, figure out what's coming in our future. That's what Star Trek's supposed to be, goddammit. Like, it's not supposed to be about the past. It's supposed to be about the future. I don't know. It's like, it seems like such a no-brainer to me. But I think that's, I think that's creatively intimidating. I don't think that, and even if there's creatives out there who have the chops for it, there aren't maybe people who can sign checks who have the faith in that. Someone's not comfortable enough going and doing that, but that's what it needs to be. Like, as far as I'm concerned, that's what it needs to be. That's the Star Trek I'm waiting for. Oh, is Quentin Tarantino still making a Star Trek movie? Is that really happening?
I don't know. I think everything's up in flux. You know, Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth have passed on their deals because they weren't offering enough money because the show doesn't make enough money. So who knows if Tarantino's going to be up next. I mean, I would imagine... I think everything's up for grabs. But you know what, George? I'm going to stop right here because you hit it.
Okay.
Because walk away. You said it. You know, I mean, let's be bold. Let's walk into the future. It's what we all wanted, and we haven't gotten yet. Even with the Picard sequel, it's still not far enough. Go further. Go further. Go further. We'll be there with you.
Yeah, I mean, the only plus side of the Picard thing, besides it being Picard, and I do want to end. There's one more thing I do want to say, but yes, it has. They have to go into. Someone has to take that chance and do something cool and exciting that. Like, look forward to the future of Star Trek. Definitely. That's what we need as a culture. But I saw this picture, I don't know if you've seen it, of that Patrick Stewart tweeted,
yes,
of him sitting in the writer's room. I thought, oh boy, that's got to be rough. Because he's got so much power. And I love Patrick Stewart, and I love his reasons for doing it, at least the ones he says. And I love that he's like, I can't wait to see whatever he's going to do. But the guy's not a writer. And I can't imagine how much it hamstrings their process to have him sitting in there and, like, saying yes or no to everything. Because, like, if he had his druthers, Picard would be a Shakespeare professor, retired. The directions he would want to take Picard in are not the directions Picard should go in. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. And it's...
My sense is that was a publicity photo. He came in for an hour or two. They took some shots. They said, we're going to do this, and this. And he might have waited. I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting to see how much control he does exert. He always seems to be a guy who kind of lays back, though. I mean, I have not noticed him, at least in, you know, all my readings, to really, you know, like, push his mandates forward on stuff. He's never really done, except to be an action hero.
Yeah, well, I would, yes, right. I hope, you know, in one way I hope he does, because I do think he gets the spirit of Star Trek, mm-hmm. and I think actually a lot of those TNG, like, they're very outspoken about social, you know, progress,
yeah.
and I think he gets why Star Trek matters, and I think he gets why it would be good to have a good Star Trek right now. But, you know, I would like them to, I mean, you know, I'd like, I don't want them to be, you know, his ideas may not always be the most, you know, put me in a tank top and let me swing from the top of the ship and, you know, those things in First Contact. Like, I don't want him to put the screws to him, so to speak. I want them to have the freedom to. But then again, you know, maybe we would just get, it's like kind of bad Star Trek we've been getting. Maybe he could be a voice of reason. I don't know. Now that you bring it up, who knows? Maybe, I mean, he'll be the one guiding it towards the light. I don't know.
I mean, I have to imagine it's going to be a limited series. It's only going to be a few seasons anyways. I mean, he's almost 80, you know? I mean, it's, you know, this is...
Is he really? Wow.
He's like 77 or something, isn't he? I mean, let's see.
Okay, one more thing that I have to bring up that since we're talking. How frustrated and angry do you think, on a scale of 1 to 10, William Shatner is these days about Star Trek? Because he hasn't gotten a call yet.
I don't think he cares that much about it. I think if he ever wanted to, he could pull the cord and say... Because there was... I mean, I don't know if you heard, but especially I think it was in Star Trek the third one. Maybe it was the first one. I think it was the third one. They wanted to pay him a bunch of money. Did you read the monologue or the his happy birthday speech he was going to give? Maybe it was the second one. I can't remember which one it was. So there was a scene they wrote for him in the 2009, you know, universe, where Spock has this happy birthday greeting from
Captain Kirk. Yes. Yeah, no, but he. His reasoning, I thought, with all of that was, like, it's not enough. Like, he wants to be the real Captain Kirk from the center. The thing was, like, he's like, I'm not going to do some little stupid cameo for you in front of a green screen. Like, he's like, although he did, Ryan and I was talking about this, he did, his final appearance as Captain Kirk was in an Oscars telecast, which is super weird.
I know.
He agreed to do that.
Well, with McFarlane, because McFarlane loves him, and McFarlane, he's in a whole bunch of Family Guys and American Dads. He's, have you seen the clip?
McFarlane, we didn't talk enough about how McFarlane's The Orville really is, like, his fan film. Like, he's just like any of these guys who does, like, the New Voyages or whatever they call it, except he happens to be a guy who has enough sway that he can get a studio to finance it. He's just like any one of those fans. Like, it really is just his, like, this is my chance to play Captain Kirk, you know. I think Shatner is like, why are they calling Patrick Stewart? Why are they doing this? Why don't they want to do a Captain Kirk thing? I bet in his mind, I guarantee you, he thinks he can still carry a Star Trek movie or show.
And you know what? He could. I mean, I would pay to have Shatner, you build a bridge, and you put him on there for 2 hours with nothing else going on. You make it like a murder mystery on the bridge. I'm in. You know? I mean, because that's what we want to see.
Can we do a GoFundMe of that? Can we do like a Kickstarter or GoFundMe and just say we want to put it together enough money to just build a bridge in a soundstage and get William Shatner, and we just want to do Captain Kirk's last adventure and I would absolutely pay to see that. I would donate to that. We got to do that.
One more
Kirk-centric vehicle.
That's what I actually pitched that to my friend, my other friend John Stern. I said, what would it take? Why don't we all just Kickstarter together? pay him like $50,000 or $100,000 to show up for like 4 hours, you know, and we've got everything ready. We've got everything ready. It's going to be a soundstage somewhere in North Hollywood. You know, he'll walk in, he'll like Marlon Brando it, man. We'll have like cue cards all over the damn place, and he'll just act the shit out of it and walk away. And it'll never
be seen. Your exactly, like your Star Trek improv thing that you did where it was like, I've never saw it, but I remember you telling me about it, where it would be like, I need an alien, or I need a woman, or I need, you had like, you basically had a plug and play for a Star Trek episode.
Yeah.
You could just like build it out around him and be like, we'll move the scenery around him. Just like, get him in the room. Like, let's just do it. Like, whatever it takes. Like, it has to happen. We're running out of time.
We are running out of time with him. I think, to me, it's him. He balances between he knows he's Captain Kirk and waiting for people to finally fawn over him and say, we'll give you so much money to be in this. You know, he doesn't...
Yeah, it's just... Yes, he doesn't need the money. He wants... It's the money as a symbol of his value, you know, because he's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, for him, it has to be like, you're the top billing, you're the this, but, like, I would give it to him. I would totally do it. Look, if they've got, like, if they had Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill back, and they're bringing, I mean, they are younger, but, you know, but they're bringing Billy Dee Williams back for, like, why isn't Captain, bring Captain Kirk back, give him his own movie, I'd see it.
Well,
make it a huge event.
That may be the Tarantino thing. I mean, that's, you know, Tarantino said he'd love to work with him. And maybe he'll.
Yeah, I'm gonna. He is a perfect Tarantino actor, too.
Yeah,
he's the kind of guy Tarantino always gets the best out of. Get him an Oscar.
Oh,
that's,
I know,
the dream.
Yeah,
that has to happen. Get him an Oscar playing Kirk, and he has to be in the old. I want him to be in the old uniform. That's a requirement.
In the yellow one.
The original uniform. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Has to be. Yes.
It can't be altered. It has to be the exact same size as it was before. He's got to slide in that thing, shimmy in it, and make it work, man.
Yes.
All right, George.
Do the thing like they can sew him into it.
And just like when the blood finally like stops pumping, that's when he's done. That's a wrap. That's it, you know, because we'll only have him for.
That's a wrap on Mr. Chester, everyone.
We put him in the tube and we fire him off the four-ton torpedo tube. George, let's. Now, I said we were done, then we took another 15 minutes, so you tricked me into 15 more minutes after I should have had you just walk away from your great comment, but this was still good.
I know, but there was too much to cover. We'll do it again.
I know.
We'll do it again soon.
Yeah. George, thank you so much. Thank you, the listeners, for sticking around through all of this nonsense. It's been 109 episodes, George, I think, so far, and we just keep slowly chugging along. But it's good.
That's beautiful.
Yes, and it's good to revisit you, and I'm glad for you and your kids. And
thank you.
And I'm Mike McCafferty.
You got to get them watching the Orville.
Yes, you're gonna watch the Orville. Yeah, so sure. I'm Mike McCafferty with George Edelman, and I just want to talk about what, George?
Star Trek.
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.